This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Tuesday's headlines, and we begin with the latest major debate here in Washington, and that's over the final stages of what appears to be a successful Democratic effort to initiate a massive overhaul of Wall Street regulations. This, of course, in response to the financial crisis of 2008 that is still holding down our economy in many different ways, with an unemployment rate still around 9.5%. President Obama today, as he prepared to introduce his new choice for budget director for the administration, says that this legislation is strong and will make sure that another financial crisis doesn't hit investors again.
This reform will prevent that from happening. It will prevent a financial crisis like this from happening again by protecting consumers against the unfair practices of credit card companies and mortgage lenders. It will ensure that taxpayers are never again on the hook for Wall Street's mistakes. And it will end an era of irresponsibility that led to the loss of 8 million jobs and trillions of dollars of wealth.
The Senate Democrats finally got to their magic 60-vote total that they need to break a potential Republican filibuster by getting three Republicans to cross over. Both GOP senators from Maine, Susan Collins and Olympia Snow, as well as who used to be the darling of the GOP, Massachusetts Senator Scott Brown. In his comments today, Obama suggested that these people were willing to put politics and partisanship aside for the sake of what's good for the country.
Three Republican senators have put politics and partisanship aside to support this reform, and I'm grateful for their decision, as well as all the Democrats who've worked so hard to make this reform a reality.
A lot of other people not so grateful to Senators Brown, Collins, and Snow, however. New Jersey Congressman Scott Garrett is a member of the House Financial Services Committee and was a conferee on the House-Senate conference that produced this final version of the legislation. He says he can't imagine anyone in their right mind voting for this thing.
It is disconcerting and puzzling as to why anyone from either party would be supporting this bill. With all the flaws in it, all the problems that it will cause for individuals being not being able to get credit as easily in the future, for businesses not to being able to get loans.
Garrett also says that there's a glaring omission from this bill, even though it's well over 2,000 pages long. Garrett reminds America that it was the mortgage crisis and major problems with the federal lenders Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac that got us into this whole mess. And for some reason, they haven't been addressed at all in this legislation.
That one's sort of the laughable one. They said, well, that's just too complicated. We can't figure out how to do that now. We have to solve that, deal with that problem next year. Oh, yeah, that'll be after the election.
To hear my full conversation with Congressman Garrett, head to worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org. In other news today, President Obama, as mentioned a moment ago, nominating Jacob Lew to be his next director of the Office of Management and Budget. He would replace Peter Orszag, who announced last month that he would be stepping down here in July. Mr. Lew is no stranger to the job. He served in that capacity late in the Clinton administration, and Obama says his track record shows he's the right man for these challenging times.
When Jack left that post at the end of the Clinton administration, he handed the next administration a record $236 billion budget surplus. The day I took office, 8 years later, America faced a record $1.3 trillion deficit.
In other news up on Capitol Hill, Senate Republicans on the Judiciary Committee have succeeded, at least temporarily, in putting off a confirmation vote on Supreme Court nominee Elena Kagan. The vote was supposed to take place this week. However, the chairman, Patrick Leahy, has agreed to allow a one-week delay for that vote. The committee vote on Kagan will then come next week. Also, a member of that committee, Minnesota's Al Franken, under a little bit of fire, but there's no repercussion expected anytime soon, over the possibility that people who shouldn't have been allowed to vote actually put him over the top in his very close and extremely controversial win over Republican Senator Norm Coleman back in 2008. According to the group Minnesota Majority, 341 convicted felons at least were allowed to vote in that election who weren't supposed to be able to, and according to the final tally, Franken's margin of victory was 312 votes. Meanwhile, the Tea Party, of course, has been a major factor in the primary season, particularly on the Republican side of the aisle, and intends to be a major factor in the general election campaign season as well. Now a major organization on the left side of the aisle is taking aim at the Tea Partiers. That's the NAACP. Holding their annual convention in Kansas City, the group is expected on Wednesday to introduce a resolution branding the Tea Party as racists. Big story in the world of sports today, the longtime owner of the New York Yankees, also known as the Boss, George Steinbrenner, dying today at the age of 80 following a massive heart attack at his home in Tampa, Florida. Steinbrenner passed away early this morning. He bought the Yankees along with several business partners for less than $10 million back in 1973. Now the franchise is worth well more than $1 billion. Steinbrenner owned the team for 37 years. The team racked up 7 world championships, 11 pennants, and 16 division championships during that time. However, in addition to winning, Steinbrenner was known for 2 more things: spending whatever it took to land the highest valued free agents for his team in order to make another championship run the next season, and also for his volatile and often irrational personality, firing managers, front office personnel, even the concession stand vendors, almost on a whim throughout much of the late 70s, early 80s, and even into the early 90s. Steinbrenner then mellowed around the mid-90s, which, by no coincidence, allowed the team to once again regain its footing and win 5 world championships over the past 14 seasons. For more on the legacy of George Steinbrenner, please check out my interview with Phil Wood, a contributor to the baseball coverage for the Mid-Atlantic Sports Network and co-host of Talkin' Baseball here on Radio America. That interview is found at worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org. While you're there, also please check out my interview with Dan Kish of the Institute for Energy Research about President Obama's decision to once again issue a drilling moratorium in the Gulf of Mexico. That's a look at Tuesday's headlines. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.